Ethan, what do you think?
I'm going to go to the wisdom of Father Anthony, who told you once that it's okay to have mixed motivations. Everyone has mixed motivations for everything. And you will never, ever, ever, look at me, Carl, ever have pure intentions for anything. You're a flawed human being who has sin in you that needs to be rooted out by grace. And you are not the Blessed Virgin Mary. You are not Saint Joseph. You are not Jesus Christ. You are Carl. And you are going to sin.
I know it hurts.
I'm sorry. This is not your point.
All right, you came to the right place, you ding-dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's not on trend. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and boy, do I wish we were. Anyway, so this is The Crunch, Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner Edition. Every week we do a bonus episode. Well, every week we do a dating episode. We also do a bonus episode on Fridays where we answer your dating questions. If you want to ask us a dating question, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord, and you will have access to the Dating Corner channel where you can send in a question. It'll get sent over to us, and it'll probably get answered right away by someone in our audience because they're pretty active on that channel. So go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Ethan, we do have an update from last week if you want to get
already
into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Or from the 4-3 episode, from the April 3rd episode.
Okay.
About confessing past sins. Hi, Dr. Ethan, Nurse Patrick, the whole Dating Corner. Here's an update on the situation that I submitted to this week's Dating Corner. I did end up telling my boyfriend about my struggles with masturbation and pornography on April 1st, not as a joke. Ethan and Pat brought up a good point about potentially revealing this as a way to get someone to enter into deeper emotional intimacy by making them feel bad for you because of your past. I think that played a bit as a factor in my decision, but I wanted to tell him because I wanted him to hold me accountable. And also because at the time, I believe my past would affect any sexual relationship we might have if we get married, and that's still an if. In any case, my boyfriend was very understanding and kind and also revealed his own struggles with the same issue. Because of this, we agreed to hold each other accountable and also make our boundaries on physical affection more clear. I honestly feel better about revealing this to him. If it was a really heavy thing to carry around on the inside, and now I know that we're struggling with the same things, I don't feel so isolated. I already know the sins of the flesh are quite common, but it's another thing to have someone who you love struggle with it too. Thanks again, Dr. Ethan and Nurse Patrick, and a special thank you to Amanda, Anchor, and Matt for their answers. Those are people who answer questions in the Discord.
So, yes, they are very helpful people.
Little update there.
That's great. It's a great little update. It's nice to be, for once, helpful, you know? Like, it's nice to have a show that people ask questions and then we say stuff and then they're like, thanks, instead of like,
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that helps people.
That's true. I can't think of another. There's no other shows that
single one.
It's just ours.
All right, this one has like a weird emoji on it.
Hey.
And so I'm excited for this one. This one comes from Emily. Hello, goons. Long time listener.
I am going to suspect that she doesn't know what goon means.
To the kids. Don't worry. None of those kids listen to our podcast.
Please don't Google desperate goon. For help. Thank you.
Desperate for help. So please get this to the good doctor ASAP. There's this guy. I like him a lot. We're 24 and he is the leading man on my core team. I'm the youth minister. Feelings developed when we met last year. I had a whole list of reasons why it shouldn't happen. So, nothing did, and I hoped the crush would fizzle away. It did not. My feelings got stronger. The vibes were Christian, flirty, and every reason on my aforementioned list became irrelevant. After plenty of secondhand chastisement from one Ethan and Patrick to communicate baby, I asked him, hey.
Wow. What a way to say that.
Secondhand chastisement can still cause asthma, so you really got to be careful with that.
I don't know.
Secondhand smoke? All right, never mind.
Oh.
Hey, it feels like there might be something going on. Oh, so she proceeded to ask him. Hey, it feels like there might be something going on here that's more than friendly.
Meow.
What do you think about that? And he proceeded to tell me he was considering and actively talking to our priest about seminary. I was blindsided and shookened because he is suddenly very serious about this when he previously expressed the opposite.
Whoa.
What do I do? This sucks. He's wonderful and I care about him. There are little to no other attractive, age-appropriate single men in sight. And three, how does a girl recognize the deep desire for marriage and family life when her reality consists of door after door closing? Looks like if you're gonna pass on me for another woman, I'll gladly accept Holy Mother Church. But still, Ethan, what do you think?
First of all, calm down with all that. It sucks when a guy that you like goes to seminary. You don't have to freaking spiritualize it like a. You're not Teresa of Avila, okay? So calm down. Minister.
That's yeah. the thing.
It's okay to like a guy. I think he's dumb for not dating you and flirting with you. This is classic Catholic seminarian behavior, by the way, of like, single man discerning seminary. He's just keeping all of his options open, flirting over here, talking to the bishop over here.
All the guys in minor seminary have a girlfriend. That's yes. just, I'm just kidding. Not every one of them, but you know, yeah. there's those guys.
Yeah. It sucks. What do you do? You don't do anything. I mean, if he's discerning seminary and actively talking to the priest about applying, then it's up to him to decide to either go to seminary or not. And yeah. so you can't really, you've done as much as you can do. You're like, hey, I feel like there's something here, you know, are you going to ask me out? And he's like, no. So that's kind of your answer. Yep. In terms of being concerned about marriage is still good and true, regardless of your experience multiple times with the door getting closed. You're on what we call in the poker world a downswing, and that's okay. Because
that's
on,
all right.
on the other side of a downswing, there's always a sun run, right? You can come back hot. To give you an example of this, last night I played a game of poker with my friends. In the first maybe five hands, the same guy got quad aces over a full house. Okay. So he had an ace. There were three aces on the table. And then my buddy had a pair of nines and there were three aces on the table. So the buddy with the nines had a full house. My other buddy had quad aces. Four. He wins, yeah. right? Next hand, I go in against him. I had three of a kind, very strong hand. He had a full house. So like back to back, he just has the huge, huge stack. Rest of the game, nothing. He was just puttering along.
Man.
You know, two huge hands at the beginning and then nothing. This is how it is in life. You know, sometimes it's great, but a lot of times you're just kind of waiting for the right hand. And so
yep.
you're in a spot where you just have to fold, 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 fold. And that's okay. Cause that's just life.
This poker is a great analogy.
Poker is a great analogy.
Do not go like, that's a 3 and a 7 offsuit. What could go wrong? And right. start betting.
Yes.
You're going to waste your time. You might as well just fold. I'll just wait. I got to see the flop. You don't know. You don't
no.
got to see the flop.
Anybody who says, I just got to see the flop is a bad poker player.
Yeah.
First of all. And second of all, you don't have to see the flop. There will be another flop. You know, the next in about 3 minutes, there's going to be another flop.
I was the big blind, so I got to call. No, you
it's actually the worst. It's actually the worst position at the table to call from is when you are posting blinds. So you're at such a disadvantage. Not important. So, don't worry about it. I think just keep, what is she? Is she 24 or is the guy 24? Who's 24 here?
I think, I moved away, but oh. I think they're both. They're both 24.
They're both 24. So you got time.
You got so much time.
It feels like, oh, there's no other guys and there's only this guy. I promise you he's not the only guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just isn't.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to date him anyway, because if he goes to seminary for 4 years, he's going to have a theology degree. And trust me.
Losers.
You don't want to marry that guy.
Yeah. I think it's just patience. We're going to steal another. I really like Hormozy's frame on this, actually, because he says patience is not like this skill where you wait around and do nothing. Patience is like being able to have a goal and then do other things in the meantime, you know?
Yes.
And like he was talking about investing, like right now, if you have money invested in the stock market, you are being patient with that money because you aren't mm-hmm. taking it out right now. You're saying, okay, I'm going to invest this and I'm going to do other things while I wait for retirement or whatever. It's the same thing with this. It's like, yeah, you need to be actively doing the things you need to do. You need to be looking for people, going to things, trying to meet, get connections, get referrals, go on blind dates, whatever it is. But also you need to find other things to do in the meantime, you know, get a job, get a hobby, volunteer. It sounds like you're doing this youth group thing. That's great. You know, like keep doing that stuff because if your whole life is just oriented around going to work, coming home and waiting for a boyfriend, then, which doesn't sound like that's what your life is, but just keep doing what you're doing. You'll be okay.
Oh yeah. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Thanks for writing in. Right. Please don't use the word goon anymore, because it doesn't mean what you think it means.
Especially if you're a youth minister, especially you should know better. Especially if you're a youth
minister.
You should know better.
You need to know. Because if you call your teens goons, they are going to...
They're laughing
at you. Please, yeah. This is just from the bottom of my heart, please.
Are you on Instagram? You should know this.
Yeah. Anyway. Some people have a very different... Like my wife's Instagram... I show her some of the videos that I see, and I'm like, look, there's this guy who, when you make a whistling noise, he laughs, and his laugh is really funny. And then this guy, he like falls down off a roof onto a table. Isn't that hilarious? And she's like, this is a new sourdough recipe that I found on Instagram. It's like,
knows. That's what it's sourdough. Yeah. Oh boy. All right. This one is from Helen. Good evening.
Hello.
It is not evening for me, but if it's evening for you, Helen wishes you a good evening. I am an 18-year-old girl, close friends with a young man named Jack, 19. I like Jackie a lot, but I don't think we would be the most compatible long-term due to difference in temperament. I also have a friend, Anna, 19. I like high school questions because they always have like 18 characters in them. Yes. In high school, your life is like a web of interpersonal relationships. Yeah. And when you're old, it's like, I like this guy, but he wants to be a priest. Yeah. It's like very cut and dry. All right. So there's a little ditty about Jack and Anna. 19. Helen, Jack, and Anna. Anna's 19. She told Helen that she's interested in Jack. She does not know that I have any interest in him.
Whoa.
I promised to help her get to know him better.
Why would you promise with him as that? Her
wingman? What are you doing,
what
Helen?
Are you talking about?
Do that.
I have this problem where I really hate fish. Like, I hate it a lot. It makes me sick. And my friend came to me and said, hey, would you eat some fish with me? And I said, sure. Let's, why not? No problem.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Wait. She likes him a lot. Don't think we would be compatible long term.
What does that mean? Nobody's compatible long term.
Anyway. She does not know that I have an interest in him. I promised to help her get to know him better. I said this because I think they would be very compatible, and she's so sweet. I want her to be happy. All of us are Catholic. My problem is I have a very keen suspicion that Jack is into me and not Anna. And if he ever asked me out, I would have a hard time saying no, because I actually am interested in him, even though I don't think it's prudent. However, I also don't think I could live with myself if he asked me out and I said yes.
This is ridiculous. This is insane. Here's
you all need to become priests and religious.
Here's the skinny.
The solution to your problem.
Here's the skinny. Is the question over? Is there more?
No, there's more.
Okay, keep going.
Should I continue to show interest and potentially give him the wrong impression? Or should I help my friend Anna? I want what's best for both of them. I feel like I shouldn't be selfish. I am also worried that if they start dating, Jack won't want to hang out with me and be my friend as much, which would be sad. TLDR. My friend and I like the same guy. What should I do? Sorry for being dramatic. I know the situation isn't as serious as I make it seem, but I'm young. I have no choice but to feel things so much. Wise.
Very wise.
Very what? Wise. You're right. Teenagers don't. This is just how you feel for a while. It's okay.
What's the question asker's name? Emily?
Helen.
Helen, you are certified Dr. Ethan Dating Corner smoking that loud. Okay? You need to,
what?
You need to get off the weed. Because you are high as a kite with your question. Let's come down to earth, right?
Okay.
You're worried that you're not compatible because of your temperaments. Guess what? Me and my wife have the most different temperament on the planet.
Yes.
Their temperament doesn't matter. It does, but it just means that you have to learn to be around someone that's different than you. It's not an indicator of success of a relationship. This is not Divergent, where if you're not both the dauntless, you can't get married. You know? What were you going
to
say?
I was going to make a joke about when I'm visiting the Stevies and I'm hanging out with Ethan too much. I got to go talk to Emma as like a break. You know, I got to like.
That's crazy. that's the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
I'm just kidding. You're just very intense and Emma's not, you know?
No, she's. But Emma does like to talk. People think that like I'm the talkative one and Emma's not. When we're in social groups, Emma's jib jabbering and I'm over there just like sitting and I just kind of listen and I just I airdrop a joke every once in a while. Like I just kind of come in over the top.
You misunderstood me. It's just your jokes come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You're just like throwing. You're like a chimpanzee in a tree, just pooping in your hand. yeah. flinging it at people.
It's funny though. Everyone, that's why everyone goes to the chimpanzee exhibit, you know?
Yeah, like
it's a good job to throw the poop, throw the poop. So, all right, Helen, you're smoking that loud and temperament doesn't matter. So I think I understand why you might be concerned about it, but I also think that like, just because you guys are a little bit different, you know, different, maybe you're extroverted, he's introverted or whatever the thing is. If you guys like each other, it doesn't matter. A lot of great relationships are with people that don't have the exact same proclivities, inclinations, and personalities. Oh, yeah. So dispel your fears about that. It doesn't mean you can't have a good relationship. Also, why did you promise your friend that you would help her get with this guy if you like the guy? Why did you promise that? Now you got to break a promise. So, yeah.
Sorry.
I guess you're just 18, I mean, and that might be what it is. But
yeah, I think it's partially that. I think it's also like if it seems to me like she asked, mm-hmm. and you're like, yeah, because that's super hard, a hard place to be. This is blanket permission from Nurse Patrick. All right, take two of these and call me in the morning.
Yeah.
If someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, will you help me like wingman this person? Like, I really want to date them." You can say no.
No,
sorry, I don't really feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? Be like, hey, you should help me get a girlfriend or boyfriend. No, it's not your job. Come on. Relationships take two people. You don't want to get in the middle of that. Come on.
No.
Then if they break up, it's on you and they blame you and or they, you know, divide you in half and take, you know, mm-hmm. one of them gets you in the divorce. You know, it's sad.
I think you have to go to your friend and say, listen, you got to do a mean girls. You got to say, you got to be like, listen here, you, I like him. And he's going to take me to the dance and not you. And we're not friends.
Is that what happened to Mean Girls?
No, I don't. I've never seen Mean Girls. I have. I forgot.
Like, I don't remember that scene.
I forgot the plot of Mean Girls, but you have to be bold. And if you think this guy likes you, part of me just wants to like, just like blow this up as soon as possible. Like, this just needs to get over with because this is an untenable position that everybody is in. So conversations just need to happen. And you, Helen, knowing that you're young and knowing that you're being overly dramatic, you have the wherewithal to go to everybody and say, listen, Jack, I like you. I want you to ask me out. But also this, my friend likes you and wants her to ask you out. Would you ask out either of us? Which one would it be? You know,
nope, that's a bad idea. You're making him choose.
He does have to choose.
You're limiting his options. His options are not me or her. The options are her, another girl. That's true. Going to seminary, dating the youth minister. I don't know. You can do whatever you want.
That's true. Don't give him the ultimatum. That's a bad idea. I just want it to be done. I don't want to be done in a dramatic fashion. Get it over with.
I think if he asks you out, you should go on a date.
You should say yes. What are you talking about? You like him. Yeah.
You obviously are interested in him, but you don't think it's going to be long term. You don't know that.
You're just afraid of your own happiness is what it is.
Helen, you just don't want to be happy. You're self-sabotaging again, Helen. That'll be $58 an hour, by the way.
Helen, you're self-sabotaging. We need to hire a woman that will pump water onto your hand and teach you how to say water, even though you freaking... It was all a scam anyway.
I saw a Twitter account that was dedicated to Helen Keller was a fraud.
She was.
Couldn't see the whole time.
You're telling me that she wrote 17 papers? Come on.
Helen Keller was a fraud. She could see the whole time.
She could. It was all orchestrated by the nanny.
Yeah.
I've heard this. I agree. This is one of the low stakes conspiracy theories that I have no problem espousing.
Yeah, I'm the same way with the Loch Ness Monster. Low stakes conspiracy theory.
Yeah, Bigfoot, actually.
Bigfoot, really?
Yeah, Nephilim. We'll talk later.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
So here's the deal, Helen. You got to resolve this. You got to go to your friend first. You got to go to Jack first, but you got to do something. You got to tell your friend, listen, I like Jack a lot. I don't know why I agreed to help you wingman for him because I want him to ask me out. So there's a conflict of interest here. And I'm sorry, but I was wrong to promise that to you. I'm going to go to him and I'm going to ask him to ask me out.
Not only am I not going to help you, I'm going to actively work against you.
I'm going to become your enemy.
By the way, you want to get frozen yogurt later?
Yeah, do you want to go to Brahms?
The frozen yogurt shop we used to go to as teens is now a cigar lounge.
Oh.
Yeah. So that worked out. It was timed well. It's a nice cigar lounge. It's not like a dirty one.
What we're trying to get at here, Helen, is that there's no easy way out of this. You've created a mess, and the only way out of this is a mess. And so,
actually, the only way out of that is a mess or graduation. That's the great thing about high school is that it ends. That's true.
Well, they're 19. I would presume that they're out of college or out of high school. If you're 19, you can't be in high school when you're 19. That's a crime.
No, it's 21. They kick you out at 21.
Okay.
I'm an 18-year-old girl, close friends of the young man. We'll call him Jack. I think they might be in the... Yeah, you're right. They might be first year of college.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're stuck. If it's the first year of college, you're screwed. The only thing you can do is change your major.
You can either intentionally decide, I'm just done with this scenario, and I'm not going to like Jack ever again, and I'm not going to be friends with this girl ever again, or you can just stick up for yourself, and you can be brave.
Yeah.
And you can just be honest with your friend, and then she might react poorly. That's not your responsibility. And then... You can flirt with Jack and be like, hey, come on, let's make this happen. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by Briefcase Marketing. If you work or know people who work or are a Catholic parish, you need to listen to this. I used to work at a church, you guys know this, and website design is very important to me because it can be the difference between getting no phone calls from confused parents or 1,000 phone calls from confused parents about when your events are or where forms are located. You know,
it's dangerous. I've never worked in a parish, but I have used many, 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 many parish websites.
Yeah.
Where I've spent, it's like with a machete in the African jungle trying to find the mass times. And I think we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And they're not updated
and they're wrong. And you show up and the church is empty and you miss mass for that day. And you call your dad and you're like, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. This is your fault. And it's just a mess. And you get yourself in a big old mess. And what Briefcase Marketing does, they make sure that mess doesn't happen. You know, nobody has to go through that. Yes.
The Catholic Church, as you know, Ethan, needs beauty in all of its areas, in the physical world, but also in the digital world as well. And they focus on
beauty. That's why I post pictures of myself online every day.
And that's why I consume those photos. Indeed. I make sure to consume them every time. But, you know, it's hard to know exactly what a good website looks like, especially if you're not a pro. There's a je ne sais quoi about website design. You know what I mean? Yes. Where like something that Deacon Steve, I know many Deacon Steves, wonderful people, but something that Deacon Steve thinks looks great is actually super hard to navigate and is obscene. But see Dan over at Briefcase Marketing, he knows what looks good and is easily usable by old people and toddlers alike.
Yes. Yes. And the nice thing is he's got experience. This is not just some startup guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's worked with small Catholic parishes all the way up to $250 million companies. So this is a guy who has a ton of experience and knows what he's doing. He's going to be very professional. He's going to set up your website. He's going to help you walk through it. He's going to maintain the website for you, do everything that needs to be done so that the people that just want to know when Mass is and just want to know where the fish fry is located on the parish grounds can find that information quickly and easily.
I want to give you an example of something that he did for a parish in Ohio that he can do for your parish. So if you want this at your parish, just, you know, I'll give you a call to action at the end. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase actually to sign your parish up. But St. John Cantius had this old website that was just awful. It needed an update. It was one of the most beautiful churches in its area, but no one knew that because the digital footprint of the parish was weak, was ugly. And so so Dan came in and he provided a professional photographer to capture the church. The photos were used across all marketing material, including the website. He designed CTA buttons to get people to sign up for events all throughout the website, so people that are thinking about joining the parish could join and actually become a part of the community. And since that launch, they've received nothing but positive feedback from website visitors. They had an easier time navigating it. There more people were able to show up to parish events, and they were able to quickly send updates without those spammy pop-ups you see sometimes on websites. So if your parish is having that problem, That's the problem that Dan can solve. So go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, fill out a quick form, and Dan will get in touch with you, see how he can help you. It might be a big project, small project, whatever you need. Email Dan. Well, not email, sorry. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Professional podcaster, this guy right here.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, Briefcase Marketing. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
All right. Question number three of this unhinged episode of Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. This is one for the history books. This one comes from Ryan. Hey, gang.
Hey.
I'm a 19-year-old male, first year of college. In November, I met a girl at a party.
Her name was Helen.
Wait. Hold on. Nope. We've already done this one.
We have already done this one.
Ben, you're slipping. All right.
No, Ben was just camping. Ben was just camping for the eclipse, so he's...
And did the one that was... Sorry, I might have to edit this. Because you posted too, and you copy and pasted too. Interesting young adult group. Everyone I'm inviting around my age. Okay, we haven't done this one.
All right.
This one comes from Carl, I think, the weatherman. So I'm very excited to hear from Carl, the weatherman.
Yes.
Dating question for the pod. I love the crunch. You guys rock.
Thanks.
Thank you. Always start your questions with that. There's an interesting aspect in starting a young adult group when you are a young Catholic single guy. That means I'm inviting everyone around my age I see and know, including the opposite sex. Wow, Eureka. Sure. In creating opportunities for others to meet each other and find community, I'm also able to introduce myself to women I wouldn't normally talk to. This is a great strat. I recommend this. If you're a young Catholic man, start the young adult group. You just do it. You have so much free time. You think you have no free time. You do. You have more free time than anyone. Mm-hmm. To demonstrate, enter the cute pair of identical twins I talked to a couple of weeks ago after Mass. I want to.
I've seen this one, I think.
You have?
Yeah. This was on, this was a movie, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you saw this question.
No.
I want to get to know both of them before I attempt to move to ask one on the date.
Because dude, this is crazy.
This is hard.
I like them. Difficult. I like they're attractive as a unit.
No, it is difficult because when you're attracted to someone, you're attracted to their outward appearance. This is a problem because there's two individual people that have the same outward appearance.
Dude, this is ripe for sitcom shenanigans. I love it. This is my favorite.
This is Shakespearean.
This is my type of stuff.
I love it.
All right, keep going.
I want to get to know both of them. Right after Mass isn't the best setting to ask someone out. With our first event, I'm making a better setting to get to know them. As an aside, I introduced myself one month last October before this, but totally forgot their names and faces since we've been doing the same Mass service for a while. So now I'm starting to get a feeling where it's unclear whether I'm being too self-serving and wanting to create... Oh, it's not about the twins. He's like, I'm worried I'm self-serving in wanting to create opportunities for young adults in my parish, or is it just wanting to create opportunities for me to find a future wife? Is this normal, acceptable behavior? This is new territory, so I don't really have any good reference to answer that myself. Am I being too self-serving in creating opportunities for myself to meet Catholic women through a young adult group? Ethan, what do you think?
I'm going to go to the wisdom of Father Anthony, who told you once that it's okay to have mixed motivations. Everyone has mixed motivations for everything. And you will never, ever, ever, look at me, Carl, ever have pure intentions for anything. You're a flawed human being who has sin in you that needs to be rooted out by grace. And you are not the Blessed Virgin Mary. You are not Saint Joseph. You are not Jesus Christ. You are Carl, and you are going to sin.
You are Carl, and you are a Chad, and everyone loves you, and you're cool.
So don't, why, who cares? Even if you are making the group for to get a wife, who cares? It doesn't matter. You're still making a really cool group.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why you're stopping yourself. You're afraid of your own happiness. You're stopping yourself from doing something that is good because you're worried that you might be doing it in the wrong way. Who cares? Just do it. And if you start sinning, then stop sinning. But you're not sinning by making a young adult group. You're so worried about something that's not real. So, like,
Carl, I'm mad at you for setting up the funny twin situation.
I know, and then pulling the rug out from under us. Come on, man.
You need to ask both of them to the prom. Stat.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Try to pretend that you have an identical twin named Charles. And it's a guy who looks just like you, but he wears an orange. But he wears an orange scarf instead of a blue one, and that's how you tell the difference.
Yeah. This is my brother, Charles A. Tan, and he's a really upstanding guy.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Thanks.
That was pretty good.
I thought we were going to get to do Parent Trap. I thought we were going to get to do Full House. I thought we were going to get to do friggin' Mrs. Doubtfire. We didn't get to do any of that.
No, there's no twins in Mrs.
Doubtfire. I want to make Carl dress up like a woman just every time he writes in. That's funny to me.
You show up dressed exactly like them and tell them that you're their long-lost triplet.
Yeah. The key, I think that was a movie that came out, right? About like triplets that were separated at birth and then they like reconvened.
There's the TV show Pair of Kings where they were fraternal twins separated at birth, and then Mitchell Musso got a DUI and they replaced him with Doc Shaw, and they had to say that he was the triplet even though
he was black.
Yeah. Which I always thought was fun.
That's pretty funny. You can't have a black triplet from two white kids.
Two white guys.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it was good.
I think here's what we need to do. We need to build up enough influence and power and prestige such that when we give advice, people adhere to it. And every time a guy sends us a question, our advice is do a Mrs. Doubtfire and dress up like a woman. I think we just need...
You'll be lauded for your courage.
Yes. It's so brave now to dress in drag.
Yeah.
And you could be brave if only you had the gumption, if only you had the guts. Too many Catholic guys are afraid to dress up like women. Catholic guys and their small forearms need to dress up like women.
There's videos of me out there dressed like a woman.
Yeah, I've seen them. I have them saved. I have a whole hard drive dedicated to Patrick videos.
A whole hard drive. The problem with moving back to your hometown with all your old friends is they have videos of you from when you were in high school they can show your kids.
Nice.
That's the problem.
That's the way to go. Carl, you're fine. Start the group. It doesn't matter. Date the twins.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Okay. Do we have time for a short question?
We can do one more, and then I've got to go get under the iron.
Okay, because I have a question specific to Nurse Patrick.
Okay. Crazy to go to the doctor's office and be like, just the nurse, please.
Just the nurse, please.
Yeah.
You said your wife was one of the most introverted people you know and hates parties and such. My girlfriend is the same way. She tolerates going to parties and group outings because I like them and I'm an extrovert, but she always gets exhausted and I know she's just going for me. How do you balance that in your relationship so you feel fulfilled by socializing and she feels fulfilled by not socializing, Zach? I think we could both answer this question.
We definitely can.
Yes.
I think you should go first because they came asking you.
Oh, that's a good point. So
they didn't want me.
I'm just used to saying the question and then shutting up. So Phoebe and I realized this very early on in our dating relationship, and it was more of a situation where like I was always going to things without her because I don't recommend doing that. I recommend going to things together as often as possible because then you're having all these good experiences without her, and it's good for you guys to be together in those things. It was a point of contention. It was like, oh, you're always going out and doing things. And it's like, yeah, because I need friendship time. Now that we're married, we have an understanding that we need to be together. Like it was getting to the point where we were away from each other most nights out of the week, and that just wasn't working. And so we have kind of a situation where it's like, all right, we both understand that for me to be sane, I need to see a large group of people roughly once every other week. And so we try to find something to do, and we try to do that thing together at least once every other week. So I think that, you know, just having those conversations and making it clear to her that, like, you want her to be there with you because, you know, it's not just I want to go see people. It's I want all of the people that I love in one room. You know, at least that's what it is for me. And, like, mm-hmm. My wife is the person I love the most. And I want to take Leo too, because he's great and everyone loves him. You know, so I think communicating clearly what you want, it's not just a utilitarian, I need to be around people so they can fulfill me and I can mm-hmm. feel relaxed. It's not that. It's like, I want to interact with people that I love on like a mass scale. I want to go water skiing. Whereas like she wants to go scuba diving, like really deep with one person, you know? Mm. So I think having that conversation, Ethan, what do you think? How have you guys handled that?
I'm probably not well. I think it's hard because Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I do guy things. So like last night I was hanging out with the boys, or sometimes there's like a morning coffee with guys and I'll do that. And usually that's fine for me. I'm kind of in a stage of life where it's like the big group gatherings don't really, they're not really for me, you know? So like we have them every once in a while and I go, and I think Emma likes them more because she gets to like, cause all the guys go outside and all the ladies stay inside. And, and so she gets girl time from that. And we do that relatively often. And so I think it's just kind of baked into our routine that there's social time. But it hasn't really been an issue because usually, and now that she's pregnant, she's just like tired at the end of the day. So like even last night, all the girls were going to hang out while we were playing poker. And she was like, I'm going to lay here. I'm going to lay down. And so it changes based on if you have a newborn, if your kid is sleeping, if you're pregnant, if you're like, what are your friends doing? Do your friends have kids that they need to take care of at nights? Or do your friends work on the weekends? Like there's so many other factors at play that just kind of are out of your control. So you just have to take it as it comes. And it just has to be a constant ongoing conversation. And if you are regularly talking to your spouse about what you need, or your significant other about what you need or what you'd like, and then saying, this is what I need, what do you need? How can we figure that out together? That's the only, there's no like strat. It's just like the strat is communication, you know, cause that's, because it's going to be different at different times. Because I don't need a lot of interaction right now. Right now, all I want to do is work. And so, and I have to communicate that. It's like, I'd really rather work than go out. It's like, okay, well, that's different from normal. And it might change back later. So
yes,
you just kind of have to know thyself. As Blaise Pascal once said.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I went to a gala and I did networking at the gala.
I went to a straight-la and you should have been there, but you were
not. But I was at the gala.
You were at the gala. Unfortunate.
All these Catholic schools having galas. I almost had a tweet the other day that I didn't post because I didn't think it'd be funny, but
yeah,
I was like, Twitter liberals when their parish does a capital campaign instead of a socialism campaign.
That's funny.
Anyway, I might post it, I might not, who knows.
We should have a straight-la, a gala, and a bi-la so that you could just kind of go to the one that you'd like to be at, you know?
Yeah.
And we can have one for everyone, right? It shouldn't just, the gala should not just be for the gays.
The problem is that half of the girls at the bi-la actually should be at the
straight-la. That's pretty funny.
Thanks.
Nice. Now, I think equal opportunity loves, you know?
Yeah.
One for everyone.
I agree.
That's Ethan, it for me. I'm done.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We have a bonus show on Fridays that you can get at Patreon, patreon.com/thecrunch. Join our Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. And thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next time. Ethan, do you have anything else for the people? You don't usually do this part of the podcast.
No, I don't. I'm going to go get under the bar and I'm going to press the iron and I'm going to generate force with my legs and arms. It's going to be fun. And I wish you were there with me, except for that. I wish not actually. I want to be alone. All right. Thank you. Now you got to close it.
Thank you all for listening. Yeah, I know I have to close it up. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us and we pray for you. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.